Hi, welcome back to the Creative Human Podcast. This is Vanessa Farino, your host. Okay, so as you know, this season is all about all the people who inspire me, and I'm just truly, truly pumped, excited, like you have no idea. Like think rainbows and sprinkles and like ice cream sundaes, like so excited for our next guest. I want to welcome you, someone who has truly motivated me, inspired me in different ways, especially through COVID. So I want to welcome her. With further ado, let's welcome Izzy Atkinson, who's a body and empowerment coach and also a fitness trainer.
Hi. Welcome.
How are you doing?
I am good. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much. I am so pumped that you're here. You have no idea. Okay, let's just get right into it. I'm going to ask you that million-dollar question that I ask everybody. When you were a kid and they asked you, what do you want to be when you grow up? What did you say?
Oh, a pop star, 100%. I wanted to be like Britney Spears, and I still secretly want to be that, for the record.
That's so awesome. Okay, so tell us who you are today.
So today I wear many hats. By day, I'm a project manager. I work at a recruiting firm. And then by like morning and night and weekends and free time, I'm an empowerment coach. I have my Body Love Soul program. I'm the founder of the Wildflower Project, which is an initiative based in Boston to bring people together to talk about different mental health topics. I'm also a personal trainer, and I also work at Barry's Bootcamp. So lots of things. Yeah.
I love it. So let's go back to early childhood. What was that like? Where did you grow up? Siblings? What was household like?
So I grew up in Belmont, Mass, just outside of Boston. I have two half sisters that are older than me. So they're, almost 20. Yeah. Like 18 and 20 years older than me. Okay. And then I have a younger brother who's 7 years younger than me. So I would actually say that having siblings kind of where we're all over the map age-wise definitely played a huge part in me growing up. My older sisters were, it's also like I had like, kind of almost had like three moms. Yeah. So I had three very strong, empowering women in my life, my whole life. But I grew up in Belmont. I loved to sing. As I shared, I grew up singing. Wasn't really an athlete. So it is funny that I am now a trainer. I was not into sports. I never made a sports team in my life. I got pitied into making a cross country team. I grew up in Belmont. My family life was, you know, I had like the typical like family life. I mean, more or less. My parents are wonderful people. Yeah.
Pretty love cool. What was the dynamic though, like growing up with like your sisters? You said you had two half sisters and one younger brother. Mm-hmm. Like what was like maybe like holidays, like birthday celebrations, like what was the dynamic?
Mm-hmm. So my sister's mother, their mother just wasn't really involved mm-hmm. in their life. So we definitely, you know, my mom was more or less their mother. And so family dynamic, they're wonderful. It was really nice to, have these, like, I was like the girl that had like the cool, fun older sisters, like, yeah. You know, that were just so much fun to be around. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was in high school, they would be buying us alcohol. So family holidays, like everything was really normal. We always spent it together. And we always, you know, I think for anyone in the family, my brother being like the younger and then the only boy, I think he always felt like, you know, oh, my sisters are, they're just also like crazy together. But yeah, I have like vivid memories of when I was younger, like my sisters bringing me in their car. I just remember so well my sister's red Jeep, her turning the music on, we're singing like as loud as we can. I was like 7, but they're like so much older and cool. So it was a very fun time growing up together.
Awesome. What was school like for you, you know, growing up in Belmont? Like what was that, you know, maybe middle school, any sort of memories that you have?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely struggled growing up in Belmont, to be honest. Belmont is a very affluent town, lots of money, very well educated. And definitely back then too, a there was just such a lack of diversity in so many ways, not just speaking color or religion or ethnicity, but also like, even like in middle school and high school, if you weren't an athlete, you know, you were irrelevant. Belmont was, is such a big sports town. So I definitely, you know, I did struggle in middle school and high school. I will say that I would have been considered like in, you know, the popular group. By the way, if I was kind of the person in high school that was like, I'll do whatever I got to do to like make it through and make this as enjoyable as it can be, knowing in high school or knowing in college, I can kind of reinvent myself and, you know, branch out.
Got it. Is there any situations in like high school or middle school that really might have put like a really big, you know, statement in your life that might have been a bully situation or like a trauma situation that you like, you know, remember?
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely a couple that come to mind. I would say the, one of the pivotal moments for me in middle school, I, you know, didn't hit, I think I hit puberty later than other girls. Yeah. And I would get bullied a lot for being so flat chested, by like all the girls that I was friends with and girls in my grade. And that really stuck with me, like probably till a couple of years ago. Cause I just have always been like smaller chested. So I remember that, that really started to kind of make me feel insecure, obviously, about my body and things like that. And then when I got into high school, you know, I was dating like the star athlete, like whatever, but he definitely, you know, there was like cheating going on at a young age. There was a lot of comments about my body at a young age. And so that is a big part of my story as to the work I do now. Cause that's what started me having some issues with my body. And at 13, I was diagnosed by my therapist with body dysmorphia. And it, I think it really played into the bullying from girls. And then also, you know, having this boyfriend who used to make a lot of comments about my body as well.
That's so interesting that you talk about, you know, this situation, right? As you're a teenager, our bodies start changing and some just develop at different times. And it's one of these things, right, that I can totally like resonate with you. Like, I remember I even got my period at 11 and I didn't even know. And I got home and I was like, what is happening? It was weird. I was probably one of the girls who got, you know, her period at an earlier age. Right. And I just started to develop, but I didn't, it was weird because it's like, it happens to my body. It's like, it's there, but I wasn't like consciously there realizing. I remember one time I wore shorts and one of the girls in school was like, why are your legs so big? And I always since then had an issue of like, my goodness, my legs are so big. Like, why are they so big? And then they'd be like, you know, your body's weird. Like, why are your hips bigger, your arms? And I'm just like, oh my goodness. Like, I'm like this monster that's like growing in like weird ways. And I remember like, and then I was like, you know what? I'm like, that's weird. And I just like, I just keep going about it. But like, and you might, I'm sure you might come across pictures yourself, right? When we look back and we're like, there's literally nothing wrong. Like not even to say, oh yeah, like maybe had a like, you know, little legs that were like nothing. Like I was a twig. I was a twig growing up. Mm-hmm. It's weird, right? And I always wonder, it's like, not to go into parenting, but it's like, where do these kids hear these things? Right. Because kids don't repeat, they're not waking up like, oh, let's talk about how big someone's legs are, you know, in mm-hmm. it affects a lot. And I remember, you know, being one of the very few Hispanic, you know, girls growing up, at least until middle school, it was just weird because it was like, oh, she has the brown hair. She's not blonde mm-hmm. or she's not Italian or, you know, she's not this or she's not that. Right. And I think it's like such a big moment that I want to just honor that you're talking about this because it's a big deal. And I feel like now as an adult, it's like unlearning these things right. that we might have been told or taught. Right. Mm-hmm. And I know that that's what you're doing today, which is just so freaking awesome because like, I see you and I'm like, yep, I'm going to wear my sports bra. I'm going to wear my biker shorts. Like Izzy, I'm telling you, I have not worn shorts in such a long time. I'm doing it this summer. It's all because of you.
Oh my God. That makes my heart so happy. I just like,
I never cared. Like I would always wear the mini dresses, but it's crazy because I actually like turn that, like I love my legs and I would go to the gym and like lift weights. And I'm like, yeah, these legs are so powerful. They're carrying me. But it's like, as I aged, I don't know, something happened. It was like, we were like, oh, my legs. And yeah. That reminder, right, that you're putting up to people. It's like, don't forget, like, that's your superpower. And I'm like, I love my legs.
Yes. That makes me so happy.
I'm actually wearing shorts today.
Oh, that makes me so happy. Yes. I love that.
Okay. So you're in high school. It's tough.
Yep.
Let's talk about like, what was life like transitioning from, you know, high school and out of high school? Mm-hmm. What were going through your mind? You know, what were your next steps?
Yeah. So it's, again, growing up in Belmont, so big on, you know, Belmont High School is one of the best like public schools in Massachusetts. So there was so much pressure. And I come from very well-educated parents. My dad like has every possible Harvard degree. And I just wasn't that girl. I was like, I'm not an academic by nature. I've always been more entrepreneurial and more creative. So towards the end of high school, you know, thinking about going to college, I ended up going to Suffolk. And really by my parents convincing me that I needed to get a college education to do anything in my life. So I, in some ways, reluctantly went to college. It ended up being a wonderful experience. I'm really glad that I did go. But yeah, I mean, when I left high school, there was like, I was so deeply insecure in high school with my appearance, like so deeply insecure, and had so many issues in that relationship I was in. And I felt competitive towards other women because I was so insecure that I constantly felt like I almost couldn't trust other girls because I had been bullied. And then my boyfriend, you know, had, you know, behavior that with other women. And so I was kind of like, not that friendly in high school for those reasons. And so I remember when I went to college, I was like, this is my opportunity to be Izzy, which whoever that is, I don't even know, right? Like I didn't really know who I was, but I remember going into the city and saying, this is like a fresh start for me. Time to start over, leave all of that behind. And that's exactly what I did.
I love that you had that mentality, like to reinvent yourself. One of my favorite quotes is like, reinvent yourself as many times as you need to meet your goals and dreams. Like, I love it. And I feel like we have to continually do that throughout our life, right? Because everything just keeps evolving. So for us to continue to learn about ourselves, adjust maybe not great habits to making them better, right. Also to dream bigger. I think growing up, one of the things was, I would just see what would I like to have as an adult that I don't have now, which we didn't have much. But I set those expectations really realistic. It wasn't like, oh, I want to go to the moon. Yeah. Like one of the things was like, we never went on vacation ever. Mm-hmm. So I said, you know, the day that I become independent, I want to be able to take all these vacations. And that's what I did. And when I reached that, I never reached beyond that until, you know, just a couple of years ago. And I was like, you can keep going, you know, right. There's more to it and you have to allow yourself to do that.
Absolutely.
What did you major in Suffolk?
I was a broadcast journalism major and I minored in print journalism. So, I did go to school thinking I was going to become a news anchor. So again, wanted to be a singer, thought I wanted to be a news anchor. So actually working in fitness, it isn't totally ironic, I think.
I love it. Suffolk was actually one of my dream schools. Had I kept a traditional career path, but I didn't. There was just something about Suffolk that was just always very welcoming. And I loved it. I remember when I did the campus tour, I was like, oh my God, like I wanted to be a lawyer.
Okay. And I'm like,
but here I am. And I'm also grateful for that. Exactly. Okay. So you graduate college. What was it like? Tell me.
So graduated college at the time. So halfway into college, you know, like I said, I got diagnosed with body dysmorphia in high school. At the beginning of college, it kind of, you know, I was partying a lot and like living up my like best life. And so yeah. I almost feel like it left me for a little while. It wasn't really my focus, right? Mm-hmm. As I got into another relationship at the end of college, I actually started to notice those behaviors coming back. Mm. So I ended up hiring a personal trainer in the hopes of it being like positive reinforcement for me. Like, let me get stronger. Let me like, you know, do something good for my body. And so as I was graduating college, I got super into fitness and I said, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do something in fitness. I know I'm going to do it. And my parents are like, no, you know, you need to get, you know, a salaried job, a 9-to-5, the whole thing. So as I did graduate college, I did, you know, the 9-to-5 thing. I got a job at an advertising agency. I was there for a year, didn't love it. Obviously didn't pursue broadcast journalism, as you can see. It was so competitive to become a news anchor, and I wasn't in it enough to want to chase that goal. Like, it just wasn't for me, is what I had figured out. And so anyways, yep, I got a full-time job for a year. Didn't love it. Then I ended up at Isaacson Miller, which is where I've been now for, oh my gosh, almost 7 years, I think now. So yeah, that was my experience transitioning out of college and then kind of getting into the corporate world, but wanting to be in fitness the whole time.
When entering the corporate world, did your experience, was it different than what you had envisioned, or was it what you had thought it was?
Completely different. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. So different. I mean, I think something that we're talking about more as a society, but I get it, like your entry level, but I could not believe how low the salary was for someone in Boston, like to have, you know, rent a job. Like, I just remember thinking, I don't even know how I'm supposed to just work this job. So I ended up having, I also worked at a restaurant as a hostess on the weekends and in the evenings to like make it work. I remember that. And then I remember being, this happened at both of my jobs. The one that I was at before and the current one, obviously I shared in high school and middle school, I dealt with, you know, a lot of bullying mentality and behavior from other women and other girls. And I could not believe that that followed me into my career as an adult. So when I got hired at my first full-time job, I actually had the HR woman. We had like this online network where people could chat, and, you know, there was messages of her, you know, saying things about my appearance. And then at my current job, I was bullied by like 4 different women about my appearance, and the whole thing is that I've always been bullied in some aspect about my appearance, whether it's thinking I'm too attractive or thinking the other spectrum. And so the big message of this too is that when people wonder like why I am the way I am and I do the work I do, is because my whole life, I always felt like my identity was tied to my appearance. Mm. Because whether it was good or bad, that's what always was getting attention. I was never getting attention for being smart or hardworking or funny or, you know, anything like that. I had a huge issue at my current job many, many years ago with 4 different women. Mm. So I have to say, I was deeply disappointed when I entered the workforce. I was like, oh, this is what it's all about. It's like high school all over again. What's happening?
All over again. I think I can totally relate to that. I remember when I got my first corporate job, I was working for like a really big, well-known company. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is so exciting. Like, you know, I'm going to be with adults. I was the youngest person by like 12 years. Mm-hmm. And it was like worse than high school. And I was like, oh my goodness. But it was like 10 times worse, because I couldn't believe that people were having affairs. People were doing drugs. People were bullying each other. Like things that were happening. I was just like, wait, this sounds like a Mexican telenovela. Because I feel like those are so dramatic and these things are real. Yeah. And I remember that I would see how beautifully the woman would dress in the office. And it was a very like traditional setting. The men wore suits. And if they didn't have their suits on point, they would get fined. The woman could not wear flip-flops. They would get fined. It was very, very traditional. To me, I grew up very, you know, conservative and like whatnot. But so I was like, okay, that's a little much, but it is what it is. Yeah. But I remember that the things that they would wear, and I would go shop like at H&M and, you know, I'm like, oh my gosh, like this is similar to X, Y, and Z and what they wore. And when I would try to wear it, my body was just different. Mm. And I was like, okay, well, let me try this. And I remember one time, one person, I had a mentor and they were like, they were a man. And they said, I know I shouldn't be telling you this. And I know you're not going to like to hear this, but you're a very smart young woman and you know, you're different, but I want you to succeed in the corporate world. And the way to do that, you should wear black. And because you're young, you know, the people are not going to take you seriously. And it sucked. But at the same time, I took the advice and I wore very dark colors or black all the time. And it was one of these things where I started to see the difference. It sucked because I wanted to wear the pretty dresses and I wanted to wear, you know, the nice like pencil skirts. But if I wore them, people looked at me different because, and don't get me wrong, I would here and there sneak things in and whatnot. Right. Nobody's going to tell you otherwise, but you would start getting the rumors like, oh, you know, I wonder who she's sleeping with. And it's like, I wore a pencil skirt. Like, are you like, into the workplace, but I totally hear that. And it's one of these things too, that the expectation of corporate, it has, it's definitely the great perks of it, but people don't talk about the, you know, the cultures that are in with sometimes that can be toxic. Of course, there are some great places that are cutting that out, especially today, and building a culture that people want to be a part of and whatnot. But I think like, if we're talking way back, like that's a lot of things that people don't talk about. So thanks for sharing that.
Oh yeah. I lived it. So I get it.
Cool. So you're working at this company. Like, what made you start your business? Let's talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah. So, you know, I was working at Isaacson Miller. I was doing a great job, but I knew it's like people that just have you, it's like your brain, it keeps giving you this message every day. You like wake up and it's like, Izzy, you need to do something, like you need to do fitness and other work. And I just like couldn't ignore it anymore. So in college, you know, like I mentioned, I had wanted to get into fitness. I had actually tried to pass my NASM test after college and I didn't pass. So I didn't get certified and I felt really defeated by that. I said, you know what? My parents are right. Do the whole grown-up thing. So when I found myself a couple years into Isaacson Miller, and I was in a really new healthy relationship, like, you know, things were in a good place in my life, I said, like, I need to do this. My mind keeps telling me, get the certification as a personal trainer. And the reason behind that was I thought there were so many things missing in the fitness industry, that I wanted to change. So I ended up, you know, going to a personal training school on the weekends, you know, got the help I needed to pass that damn test, pass the test. And at, I think, what was it? 26. I told my job, I'm leaving, I'm gone. Like I gave them 2 months notice. I said, I'm leaving. I'm going to pursue my dreams. I'm going to become this trainer in the Boston. I'm so excited. And this was after I was also running a wellness committee at my job to kind of get my feet wet. So I was teaching boot camps to my coworkers. I was like, you know, getting comfortable trying it before I did it. Yeah. And it was, and they were super like, they were all about it. So that was a lot of fun. So I left my job. I worked at Brennan by Ray. I was there full time for a few months. I realized really quickly that making a living in fitness is nothing like making a living in corporate. It was like a horrifying reality for me, actually. And so I really struggled to make it work. I wasn't prepared. I really kind of took that impulse jump and didn't line things up the way I should have. So I ended up reaching out to my job again. And I said, well, you guys have been so supportive of me pursuing this other career. Could I come back part-time, do some consulting? Long story short, you know, they hired me back with open arms, and it's been almost 4 years now working in the fitness industry. I would say more than part-time. I work all the time, but I've been working in fitness, and then that catapulted me into doing the other work that I'm now doing with my own business with Body Love Soul and Wildflower Project.
Let's talk a little bit more about that. Like, we know that the whole inspiration is like growing up.
Yeah.
Feeling it, like you're someone who truly felt these struggles and you're like, I'm going to pave the way and change it. But were there any other inspirations to this and like how it morphed out?
Yes. So I had done fitness competitions after college. I did those bikini shows that you would see with women in blingy outfits. Yeah. And the reason I had done those is at the time, my trainer, I couldn't afford to keep working with her. She was very expensive. And she said, well, I think you're going to get the same thing from working with this team and doing a fitness show. And so I signed up for a show. At the time, I'm still in a really other unhealthy relationship. And I started being around all these women that were like really empowering to be around, just their energy, like uplifting each other. And I was like, this is amazing. I've never seen this before. I mean, literally complimenting my body. Like it was so different than what I was used to. And so in that phase in my life, that energy actually really helped me walk away from this really unhealthy relationship I had been in at the time. But what I noticed through the competing process is that yes, my body dysmorphia certainly got very heightened because you're bringing your body to extremes that you're not, your body should never be in when you compete. I mean, the level of leanness is not attainable. And then I also ended up, I started having disordered eating habits. So I was binging a lot, then extreme restricting. So what really happened for me through all of this is that Instagram became a thing. And I remember sharing one day in the hopes that a couple of my closest friends knew what I was struggling with my body and with my eating. And they were like, you know what, Izzy, there has to be other women out there that feel the same way as you. There's no way they don't. And I remember I went on Instagram, it was National Eating Disorder Awareness Day, like over 4 years ago now. And I said, you know, I've been struggling since I was a teenager with body image issues, severe body dysmorphia. But in the more recent years, right, I was struggling with disordered eating. I could not believe the level of like how many women were like, I am this person too. I can't believe you took the words out of my mouth. You know, I've struggled with the same exact things. And all of a sudden, this isolation I had felt my whole life around my body, I instantly felt like, wait a second, I'm not in this alone. Like most women, unfortunately, are struggling with these things. And so from there, I just started to continue, you know, sharing my journey of healing my body image and what I was doing to heal my mindset and challenging my relationship with food. I mean, all these things, while at the same time working in fitness to help give women in my classes or that I was working with empowering reinforcement. You know, it's not about shrinking yourself. It's not about changing yourself. There's nothing wrong with who you are. It's about getting stronger and feeling empowered. And so all of those things over the last few years, it just continued to elevate my love, my desire, and my passion for, you know, mental health, body dysmorphia, disordered eating, and women's lack of self-worth. I mean, that was really what it came down to for me. Is I had no idea what my self-worth was weighted in, and I didn't even know who I was. And so in my healing journey, I was really able to find out all of those things about myself. And so that really is what kicked off all of this for me.
That's such a beautiful story that you shared, and particularly two points that I'm going to mention now. One of them is woman's lack of self-worth. I think we don't talk enough about that. It doesn't necessarily have to be right related to fitness. It's just, it's a state of mind ingrained, I swear, yeah, in DNA for generations and generations, right? It's, we just don't believe that we're worth it. And like, oh, well, one day maybe, and I guess I can tiptoe around the idea, or I guess I can, you know, numb my mind or feelings and go do this or go do that. And it's a really big topic, and we can talk about it for hours, but I think people, at least for whoever's listening, we hope that you can find that if you haven't found it already. There is just so much to find in self-worth. By no means does that mean what is sitting in your bank account, right? Because when we start thinking about that, sometimes that could shift, right? It has nothing to do with that whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And I think the other thing, it goes back to mental health, which also, we could say that society's talking about it, but I don't think necessarily enough is being done about it, right? It has not been, this should be part of a conversation like your annual checkup, which annual checkups should be like twice a year, not once a year.
Exactly. I think it's something that, you know, all of these things are intertwined, right? Like I agree with you. I think that we're conditioned as women to have a low sense of self-worth because the world, that's been the messaging our whole lives. And like you said, so many areas, money, career, body, relationships, like every area. And what happens with the women I work with is that typically the body is just the vessel of the issues. Like it's actually never about our body. It's really these other things that we're combating. And I think that it's so for me with the mental health piece, part of my disordered eating and my body image issues was that I was struggling deeply with depression and I had a lot of anxiety. Like I'm a very anxious person, but I didn't know how to pinpoint it. I didn't know, you know, what was going on emotionally with me. And I was also ashamed, right? Because no one in my world ever said to me, oh, it's totally normal to have anxiety and depression. Like that's cool. No one says that. Mm-hmm. And so I try to speak my truth in hoping that it's going to give another woman the opportunity to speak and feel her truth and know that you shouldn't feel shame for those things because shame is, in my opinion, the single worst feeling on the planet. And way too many of us carry it around all the time.
We do. And I think sometimes there's like a blurred line between I'm scared to be vulnerable or I'm ashamed, right? And vulnerability is actually, I think, in my opinion, one of your, everybody has that superpower. If you can learn to be vulnerable without having shame, like you literally can move mountains.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Or, you know, five Fortune 500 corporate CEOs to small business owners, family-owned businesses, to farmers, like anybody, everybody needs to understand that. And I think that is the approach to being more human.
Yeah.
And then there's less judgment. You're focusing on your mental health. You're focusing about you, right? And not looking at whose grass is greener when in reality, right? That quote that says, so sometimes the grass is greener on the other side. It's like, no, the grass is greener where you freaking water it.
Yes. All day long. And we're able to be vulnerable.
Yes.
I found that when I was able to be vulnerable and just share and almost right, like own who I am and be and stand in it with power, I also was able to, like you said, you know, you brought up the word judgment. I felt like I became a significantly less judgmental person when I started living my truth. I think a lot of times with judgment, right, we are internalizing our own issues and therefore we're judging someone else. And so that was such a weight lifted off of me too, of being able to be like, wait, I can actually see people for who they are and like, and not feel, you know, envious or wishing I was that way because this is who I am and I'm proud of that. And now I can bring that energy into other relationships too.
Yeah. And then it's all about paying it forward. I feel like once you're able to do that, there's just so much more beauty because you might be able to sense when someone is hurting and just, you know, being that shoulder for someone to cry on, to vent, holding that space, honoring a scenario or trauma or whatever that someone has happened and just for them to allow to release that, to help them to heal and grow. Right. Mm-hmm. That's so beautiful. So I think just as women, right, in dealing with these situations, the other thing that is not often talked about is the actual, let's call board of directors for your life. Mm. Right. Can you talk about maybe without naming any names, but like some people who might have been there through the support process. Mm-hmm. I'll name a few, like I have a life coach, I have a therapist, I have my husband, I have my mom, my family, certain friends that I go to, I have mentors, you know, that I go to for like certain things, right? Because it literally takes like a village, but we don't talk about that as women because they're like, oh, you have to do it all. You have to all that. It's like, okay, great. If you feel that you think you need to do it all, but you must ask for help.
Yes.
Like if you're trying to do it by yourself, you're doing it all wrong. Like 100%.
100% agree. I would say my board of directors, definitely right. Family, friends, my therapist, I have been with her since I was 13. She's like my ride or die woman at this point. I love her. I've had so many different mentors. Oh my gosh. I mean, so many really women that were either a step ahead of me in fitness or in the mindset and coaching or, you know, had an energy about them that I looked up to and wanted. I have to say the personal trainers that I've had in my life, those women really, in my opinion, paved the way for, you know, so much of what I've done, because their messaging was so, so positive and empowering. Business coaches, I mean, gosh, you know, and even now, like, I've invested recently in, I'm working with a registered dietitian and a functional medicine doctor, because I have like gut health and PCOS and these other things. And to your point, it's like, I can't move forward and be my best version if I don't have all these people in my life that help give me the tools that I don't have, or help me see myself sometimes when I can't see myself. And I think that's also something that's really important to talk about, is that the vulnerability and the strength, the empowerment, it's all real. But I still have days where I'm like, oh, like, I feel really bad. I don't feel good about myself. I'm feeling insecure. I'm feeling lost in my career. I'm feeling all these things. And it's like, I have all those people in my life to be like, no, this is why you're on this path, right? Like, give you that energy back into your life. And so I agree. I couldn't move forward without the support in my life, for sure.
Love it. And I think the other thing that we might struggle right in the beginning, when we're not used to having that like group of people to go to, it's like, we don't know how to ask for help. Right. Do you have any like guidance to our listeners, or like, you know, hey, Izzy, like, you're inspiring me to do this, but I don't know how to ask for a mentor or a coach, or like, I don't know how to ask. Mm-hmm. Do you have any tips on how to get out of your shell to do that?
Yeah. I mean, what I personally did is, and some of the most amazing people I've truly met were through Instagram, me sending them a DM and being like, you know, whatever it was, right? Like, I love your messaging, or I love what you stand for. If you'd ever be open to it, I would love to grab coffee and pick your brain about X, Y, and Z, right? Like, or I'd love to take you to lunch and learn more about your organization or whatever it is that they're doing. People, the biggest thing with asking for help, even if you don't want to directly ask it in that way, what I found in my process is that people want to share, right? They are honored when you reach out and say, oh my God, you want to hear from me? Yes. And so I think a lot of times for me, what's been successful is extending a really basic olive branch and saying, like, would love to meet you for a cup of coffee. I'm looking to learn more about this industry, or I've noticed that we have really similar interests. And being in a mindset of having an open dialogue versus going saying, okay, I really need help and I need this person to say yes to honoring that. I think a lot of times if you can go into an interaction or conversation and just say, you know, I'd love to learn more about these things you're doing, the conversation will typically end with, you can say, you know, I would really love your mentorship if that's something you offer, or I'd love to find a way to collaborate, those different things. And so I think for me, it was always extending an olive branch that people want to accept it, and they enjoy having a conversation.
Agreed 100%. And I think some people are like, oh, but they're so busy, or this, it's like, don't make the excuse why you won't get uncomfortable and reach out, because you probably know deep down inside that they're going to say yes.
Exactly.
100% for me as well. All of my mentors are people that I've met. I love the power of social media. And I always like to remind people, you are human and you're the one that sets boundaries. Yes, social media can get on the other side, but you are in the power to set those boundaries to make sure you have that healthy relationship with it. And I've met so many wonderful people like yourself. And I was just like, oh my God, I'm obsessed. I want to like everything with this person. And I know when we met at an event, I was like, hi. And you were like, hi. And I was like, I just absolutely have this like, just admiration for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great to find those people, right? And this is what this whole season is about, is just sharing the people who truly inspire me when I'm not having a good day, or even if I'm having a good day, and you know, it's just that extra kick to like, you can do it. You can totally do it. And it's just really exciting to be able to share that with the audience. Okay. Can you share the things that you're working on right now?
Yes.
And how people can follow, support, and all the good stuff?
Definitely. So currently, I'll start kind of the fitness. So, you know, I teach at Barry's Bootcamp. I bop around the city all the time at the different studios. I am currently accepting new one-on-one clients for training as well. I do have my own personal training business on the side. And other things that I'm up to, Body Love Soul Method is like my OG. It's my online course. We do virtual weekly coaching sessions. And I typically keep this in a really small, intimate group of women, like 4 to 8. And this is really like, it's empowerment, mindset, self-love, self-worth coaching. When I say it high level to people, I'm like, think of life coaching with a very heavy emphasis on body image and your relationship with food. So I will be accepting clients again come fall for the Body Love Soul Method. And then Wildflower Project, stay tuned. We're going to hopefully be doing our next in-person event this summer. It was really something that Wildflower Project, I used to do in-person events pre-COVID. And I did one virtual event for it, and I felt like the power of the in-person with the topics that we talk about that are really, again, vulnerable and sometimes hard to talk about. The in-person connection is just so deeply important to that community. So Wildflower Project should hopefully be doing an event this summer, and the focus is going to be on grief, the grieving process, and what that has looked like for people, basically, especially after COVID and in COVID. What has that felt like? And so I'm really excited. We have a great panel. It's going to be awesome. We're just looking to kind of finalize all the details for that.
That is going to be so powerful.
Yeah, I really hope so.
I will be there. I'm very excited.
I think people need, it's like, we dove back into the world, which is great. I'm all for it. But I also think that there's this heaviness that people need to
honor and release.
Exactly.
Yeah, just honor and release it.
Exactly.
And what's your website? How can people follow you on socials?
Yeah. So my website is izzyatkinson.com. I just redid it. So go check it out. And then my Instagram is izzy.atkinson. I'm always sharing stuff on my Instagram. And Wildflower Project's Instagram is wildflower.project. And those are great ways to keep in touch with me on my website. It can directly, you can link up right through email on my website, and same with Instagram as well.
I love it. And we're also going to make sure that we have all that information in the description here of this episode. So you can definitely follow Izzy and her journey and support her, and definitely sign up for these really amazing offerings that she has. Before we go, I'd love to play some fireside chat questions.
Yeah, let's do it.
What is your favorite song on replay right now?
Oh, my favorite song on replay right now is Favorite by Nicki Minaj.
Yay!
Like old school, when I'm back into Nicki again.
Yeah, I love it. What's your go-to summer snack?
Go-to summer snack. I would probably say watermelon. I mean, basic watermelon.
I also like to do agua fresca from watermelon. Have you ever?
I've heard of it. I've never had it.
You have to try it. Just okay. The watermelon in the blender with icing. That's pretty much it.
Sounds amazing.
Ice cream or froyo?
Ice cream all day.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
What is your favorite beverage that does not have to be alcoholic?
Okay. Honestly, I'm so boring. I drink either water or coffee. I would say my favorite beverage is probably alcohol, and I love a Moscow Mule if I'm going to have a special one. Yeah.
I love it. What is something that you have in your work bag or your personal purse that you can't live without?
Probably my phone and my mic covers for teaching.
Love. Dogs or cats?
Dogs.
What is a favorite vacation spot you've been to or would love to go to?
I recently went to Costa Rica this past spring, and it is a dream. I am obsessed. Yeah.
On your Instagram. So for those who want to see a glimpse of
incredible country. Yeah.
Okay. Final question. What does it mean to be a creative human to you?
To me, being a creative human means allowing your uniqueness to come through in different avenues of your life. So I think that creativity can be, typically people think I have to be an artist or a singer, or I think we're all creative humans, and it's your uniqueness. It's in your differentness and how you can let that translate into different avenues of your life and allow it to let you be your truest self.
I love it. Thank you so much for your time. We are so grateful.
Thank you.
I hope everybody goes to follow, supports you, and we will see you guys at next week's episode. Thank you again.
Thank you so much. This was awesome.